everyone. This is Steve Martin and with Liam McAllister. Liam is from Scotland. And so this is our second international episode of Interviews with Steve. And Liam has a very busy YouTube channel. He posts there a lot, has a lot of good information. It's obvious that Liam has studied and researched, and I've appreciated what he has to share. And I'm really excited to meet him. This is my first time ever talking to him. Excited to meet him and just to hear his story and see what he has to bring. So, Liam, welcome.
And
tell us about yourself a little bit.
Well, I would just like to start, and I would just like to thank you for inviting me on here, because I've watched you guys do like all these things on the Biblical Resources page on YouTube, and it's fantastic what you guys are doing. It's very vital that we do these recordings, so just so we can interact with one another, because I'm basically all by myself here in Scotland, so it gives me a lot of encouragement to see you guys from America, South Africa, Australia, you know, just all across the world. And it's fantastic what I get to see what God does throughout the world. So it's not just me here in Scotland. But my background is kind of different than most believers, I would say. I mean, it's not entirely unique, of course, but it's different in the sense that I didn't grow up in a religion at all. I spent the majority of my life as an atheist. And my family and all of my relatives and my friends, they're agnostic or they're atheists. So I didn't grow up in church. I didn't read the Bible when I was a kid. Like, all I knew of God was he was basically like Santa Claus. You know, he just watches you in the sky or something ridiculous like that. And that's basically what my mind was back then for the first 18 or 19 years of my life. So I didn't grow up in religion. I wasn't like indoctrinated with, you know, you better pray or you're going to go to hell or something like that. So I guess I didn't grow up in the same kind of environment that you guys did, which is a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. It comes with pros and cons. But I believe it was in 2018, in October, that God revealed to me that he, in fact, does exist. And that was through a lot of fear and just all the things that were going on in the world in my head at that time. I think it was I 19? Or something like that. From what I can remember, I was 19, so I was very young, and it was very impressionable. And I can remember just feeling a lot of awe and wonder, like, wow, there actually is a creator. So life isn't just, you know, just do whatever you want. It has no purpose. But the fact that there is a purpose now, I was just so amazed. And I can remember, I thought to myself, wow, there's a God. And then a second afterwards, I was like, oh no, I'm going to hell. I better repent. And that's kind of just where it started. So yes, I didn't grow up in a religion, but I've tasted the death that religion comes with, you know, like just the fear, the torment, the shame, the guilt, all of that. Although it didn't last for long, because it was only 2 months afterwards, sometime in December or the beginning of 2019, that God revealed to me that he is the savior of all mankind. Okay. So I only believed in hell for like 2 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yes. Well, that's all God. That's not me. But when I was a Christian, I mean, I was still a Christian when I believed that God is the savior of all mankind. I was more of a universalist, and I was a universalist for quite some time, like maybe 4 years or something like that. So I understood that he saved all mankind, but I still believed in the Trinity. I still believed that man has free will and things like this. But gradually throughout the 4 years that I was more in the religion of Christianity, he weaned me out of those lies. The last one to go was in 2023, I think sometime in April. I still believe that Jesus was God. And I would go onto YouTube and I would try my best to prove it, that Jesus is God Almighty and things like this. And eventually God just humbled me. He just smacked me across the face and went, Liam, you don't know what you're talking about. So I like to say, yes, God revealed a little bit of the truth to me, or at least a big part of the truth to me, that he exists, that he's the savior of all. But throughout the years, he's gradually revealed more truth to me. And I like to say that I came into the full understanding of the fundamental truth in April 1st of 2023. So I'm the April Fool's guy. So that's basically my background. I mean, I didn't grow in a religion or things like this. So, but I still understand what it feels like to be underneath that pressure of trying to perform for God. Because if you don't, you're going to be eternally tormented. So I can empathize with people who have spent 50, 60, 25 years in a religion. Although I didn't go into a church, I was more, and I still am this way, I just keep to myself. You know, I have my own relationship with God. I don't need to form, or I don't need to join a church or a group in order to experience that. Although I am part of groups now on the internet with, you know, guys like you who believe that God is sovereign and that the Father is the one true God and things like this. But I've mostly just kept to myself, and God has revealed more truth to me because he is gracious. And I don't deserve the truth. He just uses me the way that he wants. And I think for my YouTube career, I guess, if you want to call it like that, I started in January, I think it was like the end of January 2023. And I started off just talking about the salvation of all and things like this, but I was also clinging on to the idea that Jesus was God. So I did talk about that as well. That only lasted for about 3 months. Then he pulled me out of that. And since then, I've just been talking about the sovereignty of God, the fact that death is death, you know, the fact that God's going to bring all things back to him through Christ, that we're the body of Christ, that there's two gospels in scripture and things like this. It's just been a gradual a process for me, which it's not complete, of course. I don't know all things. He's still revealing more truths to me. But he did teach me a lot of humility throughout the years. You know, there's been times where I've been prideful and thinking, well, I know it all, because I know that God's going to save all mankind, and you guys think that God's going to torture you because you don't love him back. I mean, that's crazy, right? So there's been stages where I've been prideful, stages where I've been depressed, and God has been there through me throughout the entire way, which is just amazing. I know that God is gracious because I sin all the time and I can't save myself. I can actually remember when I first became a Christian back in 2019 or 2018. I can remember I thought to myself, you know what, God, I'm going to prove myself to you. I grabbed a piece of paper and I wrote down the Ten Commandments and I put it on top of my wall and I said, just you watch, God, I'm going to keep these Ten Commandments. And it just failed instantly. And it was only within like a couple days that I was praying to God and I just asked him, but if you want all mankind to be saved, why did you make it so damn hard to be saved? You know, there's like 600 laws and there's all these commandments and you can't sin, you can't do this, you can't do that. Like, why is it so damn hard to be saved? And it wasn't a few days after I prayed that he revealed to me, well, actually, Liam, I saved you 2,000 years ago. You know, I'm not that dumb. So that's basically my experiences in a nutshell.
So what has recently, as you've been learning things, what has recently really impacted you or stood out to you?
Oh, I would say that I've always been fascinated, for at least the past 2 years, with the sovereignty of God. I mean, I've been in a state of ecstasy for about 2.5 years just because of that. Just the comfort that I know that God is behind everything. I don't necessarily have to know every single detail, but the fact that he's behind everything, that he is sovereign, that he's directing everything, that he wrote the script thousands and thousands of years ago and we're just acting out, but we're not aware of that. I think that's what I've been focusing on a lot. And also the salvation of all. I've got a series of videos where I talk about the universal reconciliation and things like that. I've been talking about that a lot too. I kind of just go through phases, but a lot of my focus for the past 2 or 3 years has been on the sovereignty of God. I think that is so crucial for people to understand, which eventually they will understand. But when you don't believe that God is in control, you're just a mess. You're just filled with stress and anxiety because we make mistakes all the time. and we attribute those mistakes to ourselves, which is partially correct. But if you don't have that absolute perspective that God is in control, that we've always been in his hands, you're just a mess. You can't have a real, true relationship with God unless you know that. You can have a relationship with God in a very small sense, like, yes, he exists and things like that. But to truly have that connection and the fellowship with him, you have to understand that he's in control. So I would say that's what I've been focusing on for the past 2 or 3 years now, regardless of the phases that I've been in.
So how, if, when you go through tough times, and you know, you wonder why this is happening, you're wondering how do you get back to the sovereignty of God? How do you, because I know sometimes in the moment it's hard to be there,
right?
But yeah, so how do you go through about dealing with all of that?
Well, when I go through a large amount of suffering or things that go through in my life, which we all do, just like you said, I tend to focus on the relative. I don't look at the absolute, which is in our nature, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
What God does is he will take me through those situations and those circumstances, and he will always remind me. He's the one that does it all. I mean, I'm just useless without him. I mean, I'm basically like a piece of fruit that's been severed from the tree. And that's what it feels like when we don't focus on God. The reason why he takes us through those experiences is because he wants to remind us of what's important. So if we didn't go through the sufferings, then we're not going to be able to appreciate God's sovereignty. So he does that intentionally. It's like he's got me on like a, or like he's holding me by the hand, and he's taking me through these dark stages in my life. And he gives the illusion that he lets go, just so he can give us the reminder that, you know, we need to hold on to it. That's basically what he does to me all the time. But more in the relative perspective, I would go into scripture. Just read Ephesians, Colossians, and things like this, and just read it over and over and over and over again. And spend time with him, pray with him. It doesn't need to be, you know, hands together, eyes closed, and things like this. Just talk to him. You can talk to him in your head, talk to one another. On the internet or in groups or conferences, these things will develop our relationship with him more, and our connection with him will be stronger. So that's what helps me in the tough times.
So you say you're alone there. Do you have opportunity to talk to your neighbors or friends about any of these things, or are they pretty much closed off?
Yeah, most people here are agnostic. I mean, there are some religious, you know, Christians and things like that, but it's not the same as it is in America. It's not in your face. The culture here is kind of different. People tend to just keep to themselves. But that's not to say that God won't make appointments for me to speak to people. I can remember a few months ago, I was in town, not this town, I was far away. I had some business to attend to, but I can remember two Mormons just approached me just out of the blue, just like, hey, do you want to hear about the Book of Mormon? And I was like, okay, I'll give you some time to talk about the Book of Mormon, and I'll talk about scripture with you. And it's just like things like this. I don't go out there intentionally trying to look for people. Mm-hmm. It's more like God makes appointments for me to speak to people. So I don't go around doors and things like that, which is not a bad thing. I mean, if that's what God has called you to do, go and do it. But for me, it's more like God makes appointments, and I just, out of the blue, just someone will come to me randomly. And I'll just be like, hey, let's talk about God. And I'm like, okay, let's talk about God.
My favorite subject, huh?
Yeah.
So you've done a lot of study, and do you have some books that you've read that's been favorite of yours?
Yes. Well, apart from scripture, I would say Knox, The Problem of Evil. I actually have it up here. This is probably my favorite book outside of scripture, of course. This book is really, really, really good. A lot of Clyde's books are fantastic as well, like The Liberation from Sin. Or the ultimate one, that's actually what it is. This is very small, but it's really good. It's backwards, you can't see it, but it's very small, and it talks about being justified from sin. How we're considered righteous in the eyes of God, which, by the way, that blew my mind. Because I spent years trying to not sin and trying to be perfect just like everyone else. And when I read in Romans and books like this, where they talk about being justified from sin, you're not just forgiven from sin, which is temporary. You are literally declared righteous in the eyes of God. So you can do no wrong to him. He can't reject you, he can't condemn you. And ultimately, all mankind are going to be justified by God in time. That blows my mind as well. It's fantastic. There's so many things that I can talk about with God to the point where people would start to be afraid and they'll walk away. They'll be like, whoa, you're way too much.
Yeah. One truth that a little while ago just kind of really struck me was Knox's book on the two expose of two natures. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to read that, but just to realize that there aren't two natures. We're not inherently evil.
Right.
We're just weak, and we're dying, and we know, like Paul says, we know what we're supposed to be doing and we know what we shouldn't do, but we just don't have the ability to. And that was such a freeing truth, to know that. And especially, I'm a grandpa now, but as you look at children and whatnot, I was raised with children were like little demons, and we had to make sure they're on the straight and narrow. And so talk about how these truths have impacted how you think about others.
So, like you, when I was an atheist and when I was a Christian, I didn't see the absolute sovereignty of God. So, and you basically just spoke the words right out of my mouth. When I thought that we were intrinsically bad, that there was something wrong with us, that's when I thought that I had to correct it. And when you're in that state, you don't see the logic or the illogical things behind it. Well, if we are intrinsically bad, and we can't do something about it to change it, why would God condemn us for our actions, which were not our own? If I am mortal, and this is why I sin, and I can't help it, it's like a disease that I'm born with. Why would God condemn me to hell for something that's out of my control? It makes no sense. So these things, all of these truths, it's all a massive jigsaw. And each piece, like being justified from sin, the sovereignty of God, the fact that our nature is actually good, it's not our nature that's causing us to sin, it's our mortality that's causing us to sin, which was brought about us by a man thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago that we had no say in. So it's like we need to be saved by someone. We don't need an author. We don't need an ultimatum, which we can't choose unless God gives us the repentance and the faith necessary to acknowledge what it is. How can I believe in Christ? When I was an atheist for 18 or 19 years, I could not believe in Christ. It's not like I was refusing to accept him. It's not like I had faith that was deep down within, and then I was just refusing to put it into Christ, like my free will choice. That's not how it works. Not everyone has faith. Faith has to be given to you. I think it says in the KJV in Romans 11, 32, I believe that's the verse. That God has locked up all in unbelief so that he can be merciful to them. He's the one who's responsible about all those years ago for my unbelief. And he's also the one responsible for my belief. Faith is a gracious gift that's given to us by God. So all of these things are a huge jigsaw piece. And when you piece them all together, it becomes impossible for God to fail. All the pieces are in his deck of cards. It's all God, as it says at the end of Romans 11. All is out of God, all is through God, and all is for God. That's the greatest truth that I know. It's so simple, yet it's so complex, and all of that impacts me in my walk. I look at everyone around the world, and the way that I used to look at them was, oh, these people are just, they need to be helped, they need to be saved. Well, technically they do, but they've already been saved. They're not a mistake. They're not a problem that needs to be scrubbed away. The wickedness in the darkness is not a problem. It's a solution to something much worse, which is an ignorance of God. Without all the wickedness and all this sin and death, we wouldn't know who God is, because God is unconditional love. And he can't unveil that unconditional love to a group of people who's perfect. We have to sin in order for us to know God. And that blows my mind. So when I look at everyone around the world with all their mistakes and all of their flaws and all of their imperfections and all the sins and all the divorces and disease and murder and rapes and all these awful things, which they are awful things. I look at it and I see my Father behind everything. They are flawed, but they're flawed by design. They're imperfect, but they're perfectly imperfect. Mm-hmm. And I can just look at this. I can sit on a bench in a park and I can just observe my Father's creation and I can just smile. No matter what it is, it could be 9/11 or it could be the consummation of the ages. Everything, I know that everything, God is behind it. That doesn't mean I have to like it though. Right. I don't like all of these disastrous things, but I know that they're being used for the ultimate good. And that's why I can look at people and I can say, God is at peace with you right now. He's always been at peace with you throughout the entirety of your life before you were born, including when you went and did all those bad things. He has always been at peace with you. And that's kind of one of the core things that I like to tell the people who come up to me or on YouTube, is that God is at peace with you. He doesn't hate you. He's not disappointed with you. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. And it doesn't matter what you think or what you believe. The truth is the truth. It's not our faith that has ultimately saved us. It's the faith of Christ that has ultimately saved us. Just like how the first man condemned us all to live lives of sin and death, and we didn't have a say in that. The second man, Jesus Christ, has ultimately saved us all. And because he was entombed, because he died for our sins, and because he was entombed and he was resurrected by God, that secured the salvation of all mankind. He defeated sin and death at the cross. I look at everyone and I see this. And God reminds me of that. Of course, I can get bogged down in my flesh just like everyone else. But the way that God does it is he reminds me constantly. And he does that when I read scripture, when I spend time with you guys. It's like a waterfall of love that pours out of me constantly. And the water does not come from me. I'm just a vessel. The water comes from God. It comes from the Spirit of God inside of me pouring out. And I can't help it. I have to do this. That's why I go on YouTube. I'm not doing it to earn wealth or something like that. No, it's just what I do. It's in my nature. I have to tell the truth. I'm compelled to. And I find joy in that. And the reward for that is just seeing someone come to the truth, that God actually loves them. It's not just words in a Bible, it's the truth. So that's basically how I see the world now.
Well, it's to realize that all this that we see going on is ultimately going to result in something very beautiful. God's going to make it up to all of us, to everyone. And just to realize that, we're all actors on God's stage. And what we're acting out at this point is not really who we are, even the worst of us, that's not who they really are. They're just acting out what God has for them. And
it's not their fault.
No, it isn't. And more importantly, it's not my fault. Sometimes we can get down on ourselves and then realize that, wow, this is not who I really am. This is what Father has for me. And at the end, we're all going to get applauded for doing our part. And that's the thing that to me is so beautiful about all these truths, but that they lead to joy and peace and freedom. And this grand party at the end of the ages, which is such the opposite of religion in Christianity.
In Christianity, it portrays a God who's incompetent and who fails.
Right.
If it was in his original plan, his intention, for humanity not to sin in the garden, why did he place Satan in the garden? Like, who placed him there? Did he just walk in there of his own free will? Why is he a deceiver? Why is he so good at deceiving? Did he just make that up himself? Or did God create him that way? Why did he create
the tree in the middle of the garden? Why not put it out at the corner somewhere? Yeah.
Right there. I'd be like, you see that tree? Don't eat that tree because you're going to die. It's like if you had a chocolate cake, big, beautiful chocolate cake, and you had a bunch of kids, 5, 10 years old. He said, see that big, juicy chocolate cake that tastes amazing? Don't eat it because you're going to lose your teeth. And then you leave the room. But before you leave the room, you place your uncle in that room who's really good at convincing them to eat the chocolate cake. It's right. Like, what did you expect to happen? God knows all things. Of course he's going to know that they're going to sin.
Right.
So yeah, they did technically disobey his stated will because he said, don't eat from the fruit. So it is a disobedient act. It is a sin. But it was that way by design so that we could all be brought underneath this curse of Adam so we can all collectively sin so God can justify it freely by his grace, by his son's blood, which unveils his love. If the only way for us to know the love of God, which is unconditional, is through the sacrifice of his son, there has to be a reason why he sacrifices him. That's why he does all of this. He doesn't just allow it. He causes it to happen. Which is why we don't have a free will. Our will is not free from cause and effect, and God is the ultimate cause. He causes everything to happen. We do make choices. It's just those choices aren't free from influence, which is God, of course. It's just fantastic. Everything that I've been learning over the past 3 or 4 years has completely changed me in every single way. I'm still flawed. I still sin, but I don't look at my sin. It's dead. I'm dead to sin. I'm an entirely new creation, and I can go out there and I can just tell them, God is at peace with you. God loves you. And 99% of the time they hate it, but that's okay because that's of God too. Mm-hmm. I'm completely free from religion. I'm free from Satan's grip. I'm free from sin. I'm going to be free from death soon. I ultimate freedom and liberation is what God is going to give to everyone. And that more than makes up for all the sin and death and suffering that we have to experience, exactly what you said. It's the greatest truth that I know, and it's beyond my comparison. I can't even think about how amazing this is. There's no words that I can use that I can describe to you how amazing that our Father is. There's no words in the language of English and German and French all combined, and the languages of the celestial combined, that can describe my emotions and my feelings and the contents of my heart that God has poured into me and to you and to Clyde and to everyone else that we are outpouring into this world, which is stressful. It's frustrating. You know, I can't get it out, but I am because it comes out of me every single day. But it's stressful because it doesn't quite hit the mark. There's no words that could really get it. It does a good job, but it misses it just slightly.
We can see it in your eyes. You know, and I think that's we can see it in your countenance. And that's, you know, some days I think it's more even about just the experience and living it than trying to explain it. You know, we live in this, you know, we live in this broken body, but we experience freedoms and joys and peace. In spite of all of that, and my friend Mike Owen says that all of us will experience post-resurrection amazement. You know, even where we're, you know, of course, people who have not believed in this life are going to be totally blown away, but I think we're going to be totally blown away as well because we're just scratching the surface of God's goodness.
Yes.
And yeah. And it will be so much grander, so much greater. And people are going to wake up expecting the worst. And here it's going to be the best. And yeah, that's an amazing thing.
The more suffering that we have to go through in this life, it's a fertile ground to produce the fruits of joy. Mm-hmm. And the more suffering that we go through, which is all the wars and famines and death and disease, etc., it's been going on for thousands of years. That's the fertilizer that's being used to grow the new creation, the appreciation of the new creation. It's like the background where God paints blue and red and things like this on top of the black. But without the black, you can't see the colors. And just like you said, when we're resurrected, we're going to be blown away. I know because I see it in scripture, God is going to be all in all. But those words, all in all, are nothing compared to the reality. Those are just words on a piece of paper. But yet they can give us this immense expectation and blessed hope. But when it actually happens at the consummation, all of our expectations are going to be blown away. There's a verse in Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, where it says that God is able to do super excessively above all that we are requesting. And that's in the Concordance.
Right.
So what we're requesting and we're apprehending, God is going to super exceed all of that, which is fantastic.
It is. It's just something. Sometimes I like to dream about the universe and how many billions of galaxies there are, and it just continues to expand. And I used to wonder why, we're here and it's out there, but we're going to be able to experience that, I believe.
Yes.
That we're going to be able to experience other galaxies, and Mars will just be a starting point, and so there's all that stuff that's out there that we have. We just have a small excuse me, a small little glimpse of with the telescopes and all those things that are just yeah, it's going to be amazing. And
As the entire creation, God is going to use us to reconcile the entire creation back to himself.
yeah.
And God pre-planned for that to happen. He chose us in Christ before the disruption of the world. It says that in Ephesians as well. And it's so beyond words. I mean, the words they can convey to the
Right.
point where we can understand it, of course, but these words don't do it justice. And it frustrates me, like I said, like I'm on YouTube and I'm trying to convey this to people, or I'll say it when the Mormons come to my door or something like that. It's like it always falls flat. I can't quite articulate it in words. But when we're vivified and glorified, we'll be able to communicate in a way that doesn't have the limitations of English or German or French. We're going to be able to convey it perfectly. When God is all in all, they're going to be able to hear it perfectly too.
Right.
God is going to be all in us first, and then there'll be a process. So they won't be able to fully understand it, although we might be able to convey it perfectly. They won't be able to hear it. But when God is all in all, everyone will be able to experience it, convey it, and hear it at the same time. It's going to be a party.
Yeah. Party at the end of the world. All
Yeah.
right. Well, this has been great, Liam. I really appreciate your time, your enthusiasm, and we need to do this again sometime. Is there anything you'd like to say as we finish up here?
God is at peace with you. God has got you exactly where he wants you to be. I know the world is chaotic and it's not a fun place. Like all the things that are going on in the world right now, I don't need to list them off. And I know that you guys are going through a tough time right now, but know that all of your suffering is a lot. But compared to the glory that you're going to receive, it's like this. And it's necessary. It has to happen. Just like the crucifixion of our Lord or our Apostle Paul, etc., or all the prophets in the Old Testament. They did not live an easy life. Their life was filled with struggle every single day. We shouldn't be pursuing happiness in this life because happiness is fleeting and it depends upon life circumstances. I'm in my 20s. I'm a young man. So you could say that I'm happy and I'm filled with joy. But when I'm a 60 or a 70-year-old man, do you really think that same joy is going to be with me when I'm just aching and I can't get out of bed in the morning? I don't think so. That's happiness. I have happiness. There's something deeper that I have, though, and that's joy. And it's not dependent upon life circumstances. And that's what we have to focus on, the joy that we have about to reconcile all things back to God and things like this. Focus on that. Don't focus on your circumstances. And I know it's rich. It comes from me, and I don't know you. And that's totally true. But it's true, the words that I speak, and they're not mine, they're God's. Focus on God. Focus on Christ. Focus on your expectation to reconcile all things back to him. And it doesn't matter how old you are or where you live, you get divorced or your child died today, those things are awful. But when you focus on God, you can endure it, and God will give you the strength to do it.
Amen, brother. I can't think of a better ending than that. So I want to thank everybody for watching, and everyone have a blessed day.